The title of this morning's address is Karma and Dharma. And the title originated in a conversation I had with a couple from the Hindu tradition. And they summarized their faith with the phrase, "Your Dharma is your karma, and your karma is your Dharma." So I'll just say that again. Your Dharma is your karma, and your karma is your Dharma. So this morning I thought it might be worthwhile exploring that phrase. But just want to point out at the beginning that this Hindu tradition is only concerned with deeds. You know, Western religions we think as death as the ultimate punishment, but Hinduism equates death as stepping out of an old coat. So, you know, karma is deeds and effects of deeds. Eastern religion philosophy is very different than Western religions. And yet, despite appearances, Unitarianism and Hinduism do have much in common. Examples of what they have in common is the belief in the unity of God. Now, this may seem strange because there's an infinite number of representations of God in the Hindu traditions. But that teaching of Hinduism says that they are just pointers to truth. There is only one ultimate God called Brahman. The rest of them are only pointers, and they are deliberately portrayed as the elephant-headed god, the god of many arms and legs, to say to you, we're not talking about a human or a superhuman here, we're talking about God. Another commonality is freedom of conscience. Every individual has personal responsibility for their faith path. And there are different paths to God. The Hindu scripture, the Bhagavad Gita, names four paths: the path of devotion, the path of knowledge, the path of selfless service, and the path of meditation. And these different paths exist because people are different. What suits one person is difficult for someone else. We are all different. There are, of course, the perennial questions that all faiths are concerned with. What, if anything, awaits us when we die? And how we can explain the seemingly unfairness of life? You know, if we say God is just, why is it that seemingly good people suffer a great deal, while knaves seem to live a charmed life? That is always a difficult question for religion. Why, if God is just, does that happen? A major difference is that in monotheistic faiths, that's Judaism, Christianity, Islam, it is thought that this life is a once-off opportunity for salvation, that after death, justice will prevail and we will experience either eternal joy in heaven or eternal punishment in hell. But Eastern philosophies approach the question differently. Both Hinduism and Buddhism teach reincarnation, that the soul lives many, perhaps thousands of more lives, and is destined to a seemingly endless cycle of birth, death, and rebirth until we attain either unity with God in the Hindu faith, or Buddhism puts it, enlightenment. The Buddha thought when we achieve enlightenment, we are no longer born again. Only when we attain enlightenment can we step off the hamster wheel of being born, living, and dying. Being born, living, and dying, doing the same thing over and over again. So in a way, both Eastern traditions of Hinduism and Buddhism teach us that hell is in this present life. not when we die. This is hell. At best, it's gilded pain, you know, but it's not heaven. However, the value of this present life is that it is an opportunity to attain at least, or come closer maybe, to the goal of unity with God or enlightenment. If this life is hell, it is also a valuable opportunity to make progress for the soul. And these opportunities are to be treasured and worked at. Not like we do maybe a lot of the time talk about, but to be worked at. It is an opportunity, this life, to prevent suffering in a future life, or maybe even to attain enlightenment. So what about the words dharma and karma? As ever, when translating between languages, it can be difficult to give a short, concise translation of what the word means. But possible explanations of dharma are the essence of something, how things are meant to be in order for right order to prevail. It means righteousness, justice, goodness. It means purpose. And they tell the story of what dharma is. They say there was a monk sitting beside the river, and he's meditating, and he sees a scorpion fall into the water. And he reaches in and picks the scorpion out and puts it on dry land, and the scorpion stings him. Short while later, the same thing happens. Again, the monk reaches in, lifts the scorpion out, gets stung for his pains, and keeps doing it. And a passerby says, "Why do you keep doing that?" And he said, "It is the dharma of a scorpion to sting. It's the nature of a scorpion to sting, but it's the dharma of a human being to save and be kind." Dharma is the life we have right now. It is my life, your life, the life we are destined to live. And I am meant to live my life, not another life I think would be better, or more pleasant, better teacup, my life. Dharma is my life, it is my every action, every deed that I do. Hinduism teaches us that the world is not a collection of separate things, but that everything is connected. And we know now physics confirms that teaching. And because everything in the universe is connected, every deed I do has consequences. The effects of my actions have consequences, and those consequences are what they call karma. And the laws of karma says that what I send around returns, it returns to me, the doer, measure for measure. And sometimes the effects of karma are instant. They call that cash karma. Now, cash karma, an example of that would be, I hit someone and they hit me right back. That is cash karma. The effects of my deeds come back to me, maybe later in this life. If not, they are carried forward into some future life. This means that my present life is determined by my past actions. My actions earlier in this life or in an earlier life. And it's not just bad deeds that return to the doer. Good deeds follow me into the future. So through my deeds or my dharma, I create the karma that determines the essence of my future life, my future dharma. There are some people who misuse this teaching. They use the laws of dharma and karma to excuse inertia when faced with the suffering of other people. They may use it to excuse someone who is suffering and they're not going to do anything to help them out. They use the reason that is their fault. And that is true. But we as human beings have the responsibility to serve and relieve suffering. Simply observing that the suffering of others is their fault misrepresent that Hindu teaching. The writer of the Hindu scripture, the Bhagavad Gita, said, "When a person responds to the joys and sufferings of others as if they were his own, he has obtained the highest state of spiritual union with God." So we are expected as humans to respond to the sufferings of others and their joys as if they were our own. And that is why one of the paths to God is the path of selfless service for others, the path of good deeds, that Christian teaching of charity, do unto others. In Hinduism, the effects of every deed follow the doer into the future. As Charles Dickens remarks in A Christmas Carol, in life we weave the chains that follow us into death. So what lessons can we take from this teaching? Well, it puts the responsibility for my life, my future, and my future life in my control. Because very often I blame God or other people, bad luck, or pure chance for the life I have. If, and I know this is a big if I can accept the responsibility for my life, I see that blaming someone else is futile. Life is what I made it. It's a big gift to accept that responsibility. Another lesson for us in the Hinduism dictates that we have to learn to let go. Let go of what has passed. Now, I know we have to acknowledge and deal with harmful past experiences. When we do that, and then we let go of the past and allow it to heal. Because reliving the past over and over again is like picking at a scab that's forming over a wound. It just reopens the wound. A different aspect of the Hindu teaching is helpful in this process of trying to let go of suffering from the past. Because dharma and karma, as we saw, says that the person who has done the harm will in the future suffer an equal measure of suffering. There's no escaping from the actions. We all know that there has been a great deal of suffering brought into the public domain recently about the abuse of children in our schools. Many victims feel aggrieved that their tormentor has never been called to account. That lack of accountability is an additional pain for them. If we could follow that Hindu tradition and let it go because it will return to the suffering, if we accept the suffering will return to the perpetrators in a future life, measure for measure, then I think that burning resentment and anger dissipates. I think it might even turn into compassion rather than wanting revenge. Because I think if you were to ask these people who have been victims in childhood, did they want this sort of suffering to continue into future generations, or would they want it to end now? They would opt to it to end. They wouldn't ask that anyone else endure it. Let go, because the person is not getting off scot-free, it will return to haunt them. On a lighter note, remembering letting go of the past means letting go of your good deeds as well. Do what is right because it is right and it's compassionate, and then let it go. I had an interesting experience yesterday about the idea of letting go and why we do something. It's about the flowers on the table here. They're beautiful, and they are left over from the wedding, and there were even more than that, and Ayla and I had lots of flowers to bring home with us. And I thought, oh, I have extra here. I can give someone a bunch. I'll drop into my friend Sheila and I'll give her a bunch of flowers, and she loved those. And then the bus came along, and it was the wrong bus to pass Sheila's house, so I wasn't going to be able to give Sheila the flowers. And I thought, who will I give the flowers to? And I wasn't passing anyone's house that I knew of on the way home, so I thought I could give them just to some random person on the bus, these beautiful bunch of flowers. And I found I didn't want to let them go. And I had to think, I sat and I thought it out by myself, why did I not want to part with them? I had easily parted them with the friend, but I didn't want to part them with the stranger. And I realized I wanted to enjoy, there was a reason, in the way at the back of my mind, it wasn't even conscious. I wanted to see Sheila's enjoyment of getting the flowers, and I wanted the brownie points, if I'm very honest. I wanted the brownie points. It was really something to me. I did manage to give a bunch of flowers away to a stranger. But it really did take, oh God, it was killing me. So let go of the good deeds, and it is more difficult than that sounds. So my dharma is my karma, and my karma is my dharma. What I send around will come back to me. I created my present life. With every deed, I am creating my future life. Question for us is, what do I want my future to be? Do I want a life that is a life of suffering? Or do I want one that's a happier experience when I am reborn? And that, how I answer that, that's in my hands. Amen.